So my home pastor used to say every time he used his family in a sermon, he got charged $5. And so I'm charged probably 10 for this story. So, but Mike and I could not decide on a name for kid number two before she came. We went round and round about it. It was a challenge to name kid number one too. And when we went with the name Theodore, we thought we were being super creative. And it turns out Theodore was the third most popular name in 2018. So, oh well. But with Phoebe, we had a list. To go with the Valenti roots, we had Beatrice, Bea, which means bearer of light, super cute. Or there was the Italian Neve, which is the word for snow. And she was born in between snowstorms. It was December. Snowy, snowy, snowy in Minnesota. I liked the name Joy because I knew she'd be born in Advent. And, you know, joy is an Advent word. Mike wanted Purple Blazing Star. I had to put my foot down on that one. I mean, it's a beautiful flower. It's native. It's lovely. It's super important for the pollinators. But I just feel like that was a name where she's going to get kicked in school. Theo came up with the name Tree Button. Who knows where that came from? But it was cute. And so we called her Tree Button before she showed up. But in the end, we had settled on two names, and we just couldn't decide on the order. Phoebe and Tempest. Phoebe means bright and radiant. We thought it'd be a beautiful name for a baby born so close to winter solstice, this season where the days are so short and the night sky, the sun, the moon, and the stars are so bright. And Tempest, this fiery, strong, stormy, confident name, connected to one of our favorite authors, Terry Tempest Williams, who is this beautiful paradox of feminist and Mormon and environmentalist, and she writes about all sorts of things. But which name to do first? If we go with the first name, Tempest, Tess for short, are we asking for it? And so in the end, we decided we had to meet her first, right? We just didn't know. I even ordered a Christmas stocking with two names on it. I just could not decide. We just couldn't decide. And when she arrived, I said, I think she looks like a Phoebe. And Mike, seeing how hard I had just worked, said, okay, you got it. All that to say, there's something in a name that matters, right? Our full names. Mike and I felt such enormous pressure when we were becoming parents to pick these perfect names. Perhaps this brings up memories for you. What are the stories behind your names? Or how it felt to make those decisions for your kids or your pets or maybe even a plant, right? Names in their fullest matter. They give us a particularity and a focus. They hold power. I knew I was in trouble when my mom used my full name. Throughout human history, names also bring a grounding. They connect us to our ancestors. Names bring us back to places like Ellis Island. They help us trace our family lineage. Names also reveal how we have agency. Even for simple things we take for granted, like the U.S. Census. It was not until 1870 that Black Americans were recorded with their full name. As enslaved people, the U.S. Census folks only recorded numbers. In 1870, after the emancipation, for the first time, Black Americans had the opportunity to express their freedom and autonomy by adopting surnames that were recorded down. Many formerly enslaved people decided to pick surnames associated with their enslavers, which is kind of an odd choice. But this was a way to keep people connected to their loved ones. For so long, enslavers tore families apart. And even if they had a last name, the spellings were often inconsistent or not carefully recorded, since enslaved Black people were legally prohibited from learning to write or read. Just simply recording someone's full name was revolutionary. It was a critical moment for a whole generation of people where their existence and their identity could be recognized. Our full names matter. Today, our scripture readings remind us of this as well. Here in Isaiah, the prophet shares that in the midst of war, devastation, and exile, God knows each of us fully and has called us by name. We belong to God, no matter what floods, rage, or fires consume, which is a terrifying image. We can see this. We've all seen the newspapers and what's happening out in California, and we know what destruction fires can bring. And we pray for the people in LA and in California and the firefighters. Christ, have mercy. But we know, as the prophet Isaiah proclaims, that God is almighty and powerful and even chooses a name for us. God chooses the name Our God. We need not fear, for God is with us and promises to gather us up from all directions, sons from far away and daughters from the ends of the earth, from the north and the south, the east and the west. All are included in God's loving embrace. We are fully known and named. In the gospel, we hear the story of baptism, which is really all about naming too. Here, Jesus is baptized alongside the crowds, which is super interesting theologically. I'm gonna go nerd moment here, but you know, does the Son of God really have to be baptized? I don't know. But there's this really cool intersection of Emmanuel here for humanity and divinity coming together and saying, I'm gonna go through these waters of baptism with you. And so Jesus is baptized, and after his baptism, the clouds part and the Holy Spirit shows up like a dove, and we hear this voice proclaiming who Jesus is, God's Son, the Beloved. And not just Beloved, there's this beautiful descriptor afterwards, in whom I am well pleased. And this is surprising because this is the beginning of the Gospel of Luke. Jesus hasn't done anything yet. He hasn't healed anyone. He hasn't taught anything. He hasn't gathered a single disciple. And yet, this is what I remind every baptism family when they bring their little one up to this font. We celebrate low anthropology as Lutherans. Your kid has not served yet on a church committee. They probably don't know the books of the Bible, the Ten Commandments, or the Apostles' Creed. Your kid may have the potential to be kind and loving, but for the most part, babies especially, they're pretty selfish creatures, dependent on caregivers for all of life's needs and wants, food, shelter, care. And yet God calls them beloved. Even before they come to these waters, in church we publicly proclaim what God says first. Beloved, not for what you do, not for who you know, or what you have, simply because of who God promises to be, who God chooses to be for us. And this name, dear ones, is for all of you. We believe in low anthropology throughout all of life. So when you are joyful and feel the Spirit, beloved, when you are in the depths of despair, beloved, when you care for others, beloved, when you are cared for by others, beloved, 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 this name is here for you and never changes. God is well pleased with you, just as you are. And it's a little sad to me as your pastor how revolutionary and necessary and important these words still are. But as Carol reminded us last week when she shared why this work of welcoming matters to her, the world wastes no time in telling us lies about who we are, who we belong to. But we worship a God who tells us a different story, who proclaims each of us beloved, who celebrates all of who we are, who delights in us, and invites us to share this good news with the world around us. You are beloved. Tuesday is actually Phoebe's one-year baptism anniversary. Woo-hoo! It's wild to think that that was a whole year ago. Strange. Time is a really goofy thing. And yet, I give thanks for this. And we're going to have cake today and light her a little baptism candle and celebrate who she is. And I'm so grateful to be a part of a faith community that celebrates all of who she is. Whew. And she can be a lot. I mean, you will see there's crayon on that front pew and goldfish crumbled into the red carpet. But she knows. She knows she is welcome in this space. And she is loved. And my hope and prayer every week is that you feel that same welcome, that you can dance in the aisles and eat your goldfish, and you are welcome. You are beloved in this space. And, you know, as pastor, I'm here every day, but I remember this week that you all aren't. And so you don't know that there are a lot of people who come in and eat their goldfish in this building, and I think they know how beloved they are. From our little preschoolers that came back from winter break this week, to those who exercise through Virginia Hospital Center, our senior folks and our Tai Chi folks and our lightsaber exercise on Thursday nights. After this service, we're gonna have goat yoga in the fellowship, and the joy in that space is palpable. We even had karaoke and bingo this week, and the karaoke was for folks that were neurodiverse. In all these spaces and more, these people know, because we open their space to them, that they are beloved. Even this week, I was able to share some rental assistance with folks who are just stuck in this between a rock and a hard place. And I was able to say, yes, you will not be evicted out into this cold because we believe you are beloved. This week, too, I was able to do a funeral for someone who's not a member of this church, 93. And we had to move a date a couple times because of the snow. But for that family and those who are grieving, they know. They're beloved. And all these things and more. It is such a privilege and a beautiful thing to be the pastor of this community that continues to say, beloved, beloved, beloved. And so I have a homework assignment for you, should you choose to accept it. Now, Lutheran homework assignments, low anthropology here. Jesus is going to love you, whether you do this or not. But since we are in this loneliness epidemic, and since through our strategic planning work, as we prepare for our meetings at the end of January, we were looking over the Holy Cow stuff that we did way back a year ago, and the number one thing that you all said you want and you desire is connection with one another. You want relationships with each other, okay? So because of those two things, I want to invite you to learn three people's names this week. Maybe it's someone here in the pews. You could even do that during sharing the piece. Get your three names done. Check. Move on. Or maybe it's on your commute this week. When you walk your dog, when you grab a cup of coffee or pick up your groceries or get gas. Learn three people's names. Bonus, if you really want to go all in on this connection thing, be curious about them. Ask their story behind their name. Where did it come from? Why are they called what they are? But be curious about one another. For as we have a God who knows us fully, calls us by our full name, first being beloved, we too can do this beautiful, important work. And as we do so, we are building the kingdom of God. Amen. Thanks be to God.